to listen to the Left Traffic Podcast.
What is up, Left Traffic Nation? Welcome to episode 167 of the Left Traffic Podcast. I am your host, the Professor Brandon Crowd. Hope you all had a fantastic weekend. It is great to be back in the saddle again. Recording 167. That's crazy. All right. Lots to talk about. Full show tonight. Right off the bat. First off, Lap Traffic Nation, you guys came strong with the lucky dog, lap downs, responses to the race takeaways and the calls. I absolutely love it. And it wasn't even a points paying race. Just so awesome. Cannot wait to get to everything that you guys had to say. But got to tell you, busy weekend over here. I think every weekend is going to be a busy weekend over here for a long time. Everything's unpacked, and now it's just a lot of little odds and ends. Fix this up, hang this picture, move this, move that. But it's a fun busy because now I got that. It put some racing in there and all that good stuff. And hell, football's over, sort of. 1 week removed from the NFL being over, and we got the return 20 years later, the XFL. Had that on the background a little bit this weekend. Saw a few plays. I'll tune in just being a WWE fan and hope it works a little better this go around. It's not the gimmick that it was 20 years ago. He hate me, and nicknames like that aren't going on. They're actually trying to do a legit thing here, which is pretty cool. Baseball's right around the corner, but the Tigers are going to be a dumpster fire again this year. Who knows what Michigan basketball is going to bring for March. We'll get a little Big Ten college basketball talk with Aaron and Brian here in a little bit. But the important thing is racing is back, and it will be here through November. We can all sigh a breath of relief there with that. It's going to stink a little bit during the two-week off period in August, but, hey, the Olympics, they're fun to watch. But like I said, racing is back. It was back on the track this weekend. We had the ARCA race, Cup practice, Cup qualifying. The main event Sunday afternoon, the clash. Lots to get to with that. Before I get to the Cup stuff, I got to talk about the ARCA race really quick. Lap Traffic alum Michael Self picking right up from where he left off last season. Where he almost picked up the ARCA championship, finishing second to Christian Eckes. He picks up the win in the ARCA Open at Daytona. But obviously, most of the attention is going to Haley Deegan, who brought it home second. Obviously impressive. Curious to see how she does this season. I know everyone's anxious. Everyone's excited to see what she does. And I know I'm excited to watch. I know I will tune in and try to, pay a little bit more attention to the ARCA series just based on Haley Deegan being there. And I think that's the case for a lot of us. And so hopefully, she delivers and she obviously wants to deliver for herself. And I think she knows that a lot of people are going to have their eyes on her and what she does on the track. And that's a big thing to carry, knowing that, you got more people tuning in because you're out there on the track. She seems to be very poised and carries herself very well. So I'm definitely looking forward to see how Haley Deegan's season goes. Hope you guys tuned in last week and caught our Xfinity Series champ Tyler Reddick on the show. Always great catching up with Tyler. PETM's pregame engineer Andrew Sherwin was on. We talked a little off-season, set the tone there. So not dated yet, so definitely go check that out if you haven't already. And there is still time to get in on the Lapped Traffic Fantasy. Check out the website, thelappedtrafficpodcast.com. Click the fantasy link with the rules and how to register. You can join anytime throughout the year, so get in on the fun. Have a chance to call in, make your picks on the show, talk some smack on Twitter. It's a great time had by all, so go check that out. A little bit more on that later in the show. And don't forget, the Lap Traffic Podcast is a part of the Big Heads Media Network. Big Heads has you covered from sports to entertainment, so go check out Big Heads Media for all your podcast needs. All right, there's an open for you, boys and girls. Let's get to the lineup. Tonight, Daytona 500 pole winner Ricky Stenhouse Jr. will be calling into the show here in just a little bit. Well, actually, he won't be calling into the show. I actually recorded the segment with him last week, Wednesday. So Ricky is going to drop that in here. Unfortunately, it was talked to him before his pole qualifying effort, so won't get to talk to him about that. But did get to spend some time with him, so I'll drop that in here in just a minute. I'll reset the Clash and get your takes on the Clash as well. Some social media. Brian and Aaron will be on to keep us up to date for the weather for all the festivities this week with the Duels Truck Xfinity and the big dance on Sunday. Got your ample Lucky Dog and Lap Down picks. Fantasy to close it out. All right, let's get this thing going, and let's get Mr. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. on the line. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, joining me on the line, making his first appearance on the Lap Traffic Podcast. He is the driver of the number 47 Chevy with JTG Daughtry Racing. Welcome to the show, Ricky Stenhouse Jr. What's up, brother? How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. How are y'all?
Awesome, man. Excited to be able to watch some racing this weekend, and I'm pumped for Daytona. I'm ready to fire up the podcast for another year, man. I'm excited. And, man, I can't imagine it. It's had to have been a crazy, crazy off season for you, but we can get to that in a second. Did you get to do anything fun to decompress and relax over the last 60 days or so?
Yeah, I mean, I went dirt racing, you know, six or so times this off season. After the Chili Bowl, I spent a few days in Colorado, went snowboarding and snowmobiling with my sprint car team. So that was the time that I had to kind of relax. Other than that, and I've been at the shop, hanging out, you know, just getting to know, like you said, a crazy off season, getting to know a whole new team. You know, all the new things and steps that come along with, you know, trying to get everything organized, you know, doing that. So, it was definitely a crazy all season, but I got to relax a little bit and then also got to go race and do things I wanted to do.
That's awesome. You know, can you talk a little bit in detail, you know, you spent basically your entire Xfinity and your Cup career with Roush. What's the off season been like with a new team? You know, I'm sure once you're in a routine with the same team, you know, it's probably a little bit more of a repetitive off season. Has there been a drastic difference with switching over to a new team this year?
Yeah, for sure. One of the biggest things is, you know, just obviously getting to know all the new people, but, you know, I mean, I had my same group of guys for a long time on my Cup side. And like, I spent, my interior guy that I had for, 7 years on the Cup side. He did all my helmets, all, you know, everything on the interior. And, you know, so just getting in the shop, sitting in the cars, you know, going over, you know, the things that I like, you know, for the interior to be steering wheels, earplugs, helmets, you know, I mean, that's just something that I totally forgot about because I had somebody that did it for me for
sure.
So long. You know, just getting to know the travel department and kind of how the process of, you know, getting flights and, you know, I flew down here to Daytona early, going to sprint car races and, you know, the media that we have to do, new sponsors, and there's just so many parts and pieces that you don't think about that are different. But it's been nice to have my crew chief Brian Patty come over with me, and, you know, all the things that, you know, he's doing in the shop. He keeps me informed on all the things that are going on, what they're working on, and so that's been nice to be able to have him, you know, kind of relay the message to me, like, hey, these got a lot of good stuff here, a lot of good people, you know, the cars are awesome, they're nice, and he's feeling really good about it, so that obviously makes me feel good about it as well.
Well, we've definitely seen JTG improve over the last couple years as an organization. Have you gotten to talk to Ryan Preece at all, and your new teammate, and how's that dynamic?
I have, and it's cool. You know, he's a racer. He's coming down here to speed race early. He's running his modified. He's just a guy that wants to go out and compete. And, for me, like you said, JTG Dorter Racing has been getting better over the last few seasons. Last year, that took a huge step, I felt like, in the right direction. They started building their own chassis and, kind of really took control of everything that they were doing that they could, themselves. And, Tad and Jody, Jude and Ernie, feel right now that, this is the most prepared that the team has gone into a season with all the hard work that the shop's been putting in this off season and, what they've been able to accomplish and, get prepared with, and that's awesome. It's really neat. And Ryan Preece, obviously, this is his second year running Cup, and he's looking forward to continuing to learn. And he feels like the shop's going to be, and our cars are better than what they were last year, and that's cool.
That's awesome. I want to get your take on something, because it's something that I keep arguing with myself on whether or not it may or may not be this way. So I want your take. Everyone's talking about 2021, the new car, the new rules package, all that. Do you think this year could maybe be a little bit of a lame duck year and just kind of, going through the motions just to get to next year, focus on the new car and all that? Do you see we might see that a little bit, or am I way off?
At least not for us. We're working hard. We're in the wind tunnel. The wind tunnel hours we have, we're limited on hours that we go to the wind tunnel, but that doesn't include development for 2021 cars.
So, okay.
We're still working hard on our cars that we have this year. Chevrolet came out with our new Camaro bodies. They came out with a whole new body for 1 year. So I don't think anybody's laying over. I mean, somebody still has to win the Daytona 500. Somebody still has to win a championship and all the races in between. So everybody's going to be working hard to do that.
Fair enough. We are getting some cool new components to the season this year, whether it be the Pocono Double, the new package for the short tracks, some new changes to stage lengths at some of the races on the Cup side. Is there anything that you're most excited to kind of see how something plays out?
I'm anxious to kind of see the doubleheader. And I think for me, the biggest thing is, our schedule's been the same for so long.
Sure.
And so going from here straight to Vegas and, just the mix-up running, Phoenix at the end, Daytona not July 4th. There's just so many things that are different. And, I think a change of pace is good sometimes.
Absolutely. You mentioned the 500. It is literally just right around the corner. You've got a couple plate taper wins, whatever we want to call them nowadays. New team, new car. Any different mental preparation to get ready and try to survive the 500 for yourself and with a new team?
Yeah, the new team is obviously different. I got a new spotter. I'm going to have to make sure I work with him a lot during practice. And, we've talked a lot this offseason. We've gone over some film. But I like the way he spots, and I feel like we should be able to just kind of roll right into it. I think for me it's getting out in practice, figuring out the nuances of how the Chevy Camaro drafts. I've been in the same car on the super speedways and in my Cup career for a long time, and I knew how those drove. I knew what I needed my car to drive like. So I'm interested to kind of just see how Speed Week goes and what I think of the car, but All in all, I feel like you looked at what the Chevys have been able to do here. They've been organized. They've gotten a line. They've ran up front. And, you know, to me, they got some speed. And so I think Chevys have been on the pole for a while now.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to qualifying.
Awesome. Ricky, where can everybody follow you at and your sponsors on social media and all that good stuff?
Yeah, for me, it's just Stenhouse, at Stenhouse Jr., and then make sure everybody keeps up with, you know, everything going on the track on the weekend at JTG Doherty Racing. They keep everybody posted on, you know, what Ryan and I are doing throughout the weekend, and, you know, we'll kick off Speed Weeks, get on track on Saturday finally, and get to finally jump back in the car and make some laps.
I know. I'm excited. I can only imagine how excited you are to get back into the seat there. Lapped Traffic Nation, huge thanks to the driver, the number 47 with JTD Jotry, Ricky Stenhouse Jr., for calling in. Ricky, thanks so much. Good luck this season. Good luck at the 500, and hope to get to talk with you again soon, man.
Yeah, not a problem. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. We'll talk to you. Take care.
Lap Traffic Nation, how cool was that? This year's pole sitter for the Daytona 500, Ricky Stenhouse Jr. on the Lapped Traffic Podcast. Definitely going to be interesting to see how he does with the new team. Basically flip-flopping JTG and Roush drivers there with Chris Buescher, Ricky Stenhouse Jr. Both organizations, something to prove. JTG definitely on the uptick over the last couple of years, and Roush needs to definitely do something to try to reassert its dominance that they once had. We all know Ricky's got a couple plate wins, and definitely going to be curious to see what he does this weekend at the 500. All right, well, next week we'll definitely have some truck racing to talk about, some Xfinity racing to talk about. But right now, the race to recap, if you will, was the Clash. In my opinion, you know, there's a lot to be said about what happened this past Sunday, and there's not a lot to be said about what happened this past Sunday. It was a cluster bleep. When it was all said and done, it was a cluster bleep. Just when you think the big one might not happen, then boom, 9 of them happen. And when you only have 6 cars, 33% of the field finished the race. I mean, you know, quality there towards the end, obviously pretty low. I think this win does a little more personally for Erik Jones than it does anything else. Before all the nonsense happened, it looked like Chase was going to get the win. And I don't think Chase necessarily needed that win. It would have been nice, but I firmly believe you only got so many wins set aside for you. And I'm not one to want to waste them on non-points races, you know. So if Chase would have gotten the win, you know, would it really have done anything for him? I don't think so. He had a pretty good momentum there mid-year last year. Had a horrible stretch in the playoffs, but Chase didn't need that win. I think Erik Jones needed this win personally, because I think he needed a little of a moral victory. And I think he got that. You know, when you look at what happened with him last year, took a lot of flack. You know, he was the last JGR car to win last year. Many surprised on the contract extension. Some thought Bell might get the ride. So like I said, I think he needed that moral victory. He now has a quote-unquote history of surviving these wreck fests at Daytona, as the win he has there in July from a couple years ago ended in much the same fashion as the Clash did for him. So I think this did maybe some good for Erik Jones. For the fans and the rest of the field, that's to be determined. And that leads me to my next thing here. You know, 4 times a year, the debate comes up, plate racing, tapered spacer racing, whatever the hell you want to call it. Some people like the wrecks. Some people hate the wrecks. There are multiple perspectives that can be taken. One perspective is, hey, it's the 500. Racing is back. Let's rejoice. I think that's the perspective most of us take around the 500, at least. We can celebrate the off-season being over. We anticipate a great year for our driver. We look forward to the races we're going to attend. attend. So there's a lot of positivity. We can look past the fact that, you know, it's going to be a wreck fest. The other perspective is I hate this style of racing. So much money's wasted. Dale Jr.'s graveyard gets a lot of new admittance, and people vent about hating it on social media. And I think part of that is the social media aspect. I think, you know, obviously those of us, myself included, that aren't the biggest fan of plate racing, we use social media to vent, and then, you know, the negativity just brings and makes you feel more negative, and then it's a vicious circle there. So would all of us hate it as much if we didn't have the platform to complain about it on social media? Maybe, maybe not. And then, of course, there is the intermediate perspective that just takes it for what it is. Like I said, I'm not the biggest fan of this style of racing. I, around the 500, I take the first perspective. I am happy to be back racing. But it's not my favorite. I am not a fan of the Daytona July race being moved to the last race for the regular season. That is, I think we've had melee. I talked a bit about a minute ago about the race that Eric Jones won at the Summer Daytona race was an absolute bleep show. And I think the fact that playoff spots are going to be on the line, you've got guys that are already going to be locked into the playoffs, and you're going to have a handful of guys that this is going to be their last shot. And that's the appeal for doing that. And I get that. I get that appeal. Someone that maybe wasn't going to have a snowball's chance in hell of making the playoffs might be able to sneak one in there, knock somebody else out that was going to be in there on points maybe. I get that appeal. I just don't like the fact that, you know, it's a gimmick race, if you will, that's going to set the playoff field there. But like I said, I understand the appeal for it. But this weekend, I'm rejoicing. It's time to celebrate that racing's back on the track for sure. All right, Lap Traffic Nation. So as I mentioned on the show last week, I want to get you guys more involved. And so I asked you guys on Twitter, what was your takeaway from the clash? And everybody that responded, I'm getting in this week. Some weeks I might do this, maybe for the truck race, maybe for the Xfinity race, maybe all three. Just depends on, you know, what goes down that weekend. And I'll try to get in as many of you as I can. So keep them as entertaining as possible if you want to make it on here for sure. My takeaway, I kind of summed it up there a little bit. I think it was a good moral victory for Eric Jones. And I'm just excited as all hell that the 500 is back. What did you guys have to say? John at John Bishy Jr., hashtag entertaining. Kevin at Kevin Rocks 25, pathetic, but a whole lot of fun. I can rally behind that. Matt at Camper News Net. I thought the race towards the end was more like a last man standing kind of race, but I thought that if Denny Hamlin didn't push Eric to the finish, Eric wouldn't have won. Matt, I agree 100%. Last man standing kind of felt like a Royal Rumble, so to speak, there. Who can make it to the end? Survival of the fittest. Matt at Matt X Kolb. I thought it was good. Was shaping up to be a good fuel strategy race, but then it went off the rails. I half expected the finish to be a foot race. Yeah, I literally was wondering, were they going to have any cars left to be able to finish the race? That would have at least been something to talk about. No car able to finish the race. Brian at Brian underscore G87, hashtag the crash. Yes, I'm with you. Cancian at Racing Cancian. Expensive. Yes, that is a good takeaway from the weekend. Brenda at Venzi5 Ventura. Fun because no one got hurt and it's balls to the walls just for the win, right? You sum that up. It is definitely balls to the walls for the win. Lorena at Esky Lover 1, action packed. Evan at Evan Roller 2. This race reminded me of what my head would feel like the night after fireball shots with pregame engineer and tailgate mayor at the PETM campfire at Too Tough to Tame. You're not wrong. You are not wrong at all. Jason at Little J Martin, definitely one of the most interesting clashes from what I saw on Twitter. People are griping, but yet it's plate racing. Anything can happen and will happen. Just be happy as a NASCAR fan. It's finally back. Last week, no NASCAR. This week, cars on the track, and people bitch. Our fans are toxic. You know what, Jason? I'm not going to disagree. I think it becomes a little cesspool sometimes out there on the social media. But, you know, if it wasn't for those platforms, I wouldn't have met a lot of cool people. I wouldn't be here. So I try to avoid it as much as possible. But I hear you. Racing is back, and thank goodness. Let's rejoice. Gold Street at Gold Cold Snow. Why complain about it? It was fun to watch. Pixie Doodle at Pixie Doodle. Hashtag Wreckfest. Hashtag Waste of Good Race Cars. Stacy at I Love Junior 88. Her takeaway: you can win with a tore up race car. Yes, you can. Daytona, Talladega, Bristol, Martinsville. It's where we see most of our tore up raced win cars. Bruce at Sim Racer 1018. Daytona 500 is going to be wild. Not going to disagree. Bradley at Bradley Carnes. One of the best races I've seen in my 31 years. I'm sensing some sarcasm there. I'm just saying. Joe at Jabrinkley 35. I think the way the winning car looked shows that this is a wreckers or checkers race. Don't expect the 500 to be anything like this. They pushed everything to the limits today to see what they could get away with. Now they know. I like that. Eddie at EG3 underscore Fast Eddie. More like last man standing with some dollar signs. Money, 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 money. Comet at I seen a comet so bad it was good. I think that's a good way to sum that up there. Absolutely. Quite the number of responses there. Thank you to everyone that responded. I was overwhelmed. I can't believe so many people chimed in and new people that don't necessarily respond to the lucky dogs, which is absolutely perfect. Got everybody in that responded. Like I said, going forward, I'll pick a handful. We'll see what race I choose to do that at. But I absolutely love that that worked out so well. And I think that set the tone perfectly. Got, you know, the Twitter interaction involved with Lap Traffic Nation, which is fantastic. It's a perfect way to set up this Sunday, the Great American Race, the Daytona 500. And like I said, just think about it like this. We got it. It's February, folks. February. It's cold outside, at least up here in Michigan. Now, we got racing until it's going to be cold again in November. So we are set for a while. Let's have some fun. Glad to be back. And all right, I think that's substantial coverage there for the Clash. Let's get to a little social media. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. You can find all the guests that have ever been on the show there. You can find out who's leading fantasy. You can find out who's coming up on the show. Tons of stuff on the website, so go check that out. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. On Instagram, The Lap Traffic Podcast. And, of course, the main source on Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC. Listen to the show on iTunes, Podbean, just search Lap Traffic, or you can find it on Stitcher, Spreaker, Google Play, Listen Notes, TuneIn Radio. It should be out there for sure. Giveaways. The 5,000 follower giveaway got that rear quarter panel from Eric Almirola's car back when he was with Richard Petty Motorsports. About 800 followers away for that. And I will definitely do some smaller giveaways. As I mentioned last week on the show, some new giveaway contests this year will be kicking off in the next week or so for some Lap Traffic swag. So stay tuned for that. Get some new follower shout outs next week. Like I said, on the podcast website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com, check out the store. Got $15 t-shirts with a bunch of different logos out there. There's hoodies. There's what else is on there? There's travel mugs. And of course, I've got free koozies and stickers. All you have to do is send a request through the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Just fill out the contact page, and I'll be happy, and it'll be my honor to send you a koozie of the Lap Traffic Podcast for the 2020 NASCAR season. So hopefully, flood my email. I would love to sit this weekend watching the race, stuff an envelope, sending some out for sure. I am going to get a new P.O. box because, like I said, I've moved, so I need to get a new one. Let's see. Last but not least, Freddie the Pizza Man. I've talked about him off and on throughout all of last year. The Lap Traffic Podcast does not have a Patreon or anything like that, but Freddie the Pizza Man is a local guy here. He's become a great friend of mine over the last couple of years, and he has an awesome 501c3 charity that supports autism in Metro Detroit. He has donated thousands, tens of thousands of dollars to help build sensory rooms in local Metro Detroit schools for kids with autism. Just an absolute stand-up guy and a great human being with a great charity. And he also sponsors Yunker Motorsports and Brad Yunker. So if you want to donate and help a great cause that's tax deductible, all that good stuff, go to the website and click Support Autism. There's a ton more information there, and go check that out for sure. All right, business is done. Let's get Mr. Brian Newdorf and Aaron Studwell on to see what's going on with a little Big Ten basketball and the weather for this weekend's festivities. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, it's the kickoff to the 2020 NASCAR season and one of NASCAR's crown jewels. So it's only fitting to have both resident Lap Traffic podcast weather guys call in this week. We have track action Thursday to Sunday, so let's get these guys on. You can follow them on Twitter. One is at RaceWeather. The other you can follow at NASCAR_WXMAN. Welcome back for the 2020 season, Aaron Studwell and Brian Newdorf. Gentlemen, how are you?
Didn't the season like just end?
Yeah, it sure as hell feels like it. You know, like in December, January, it feels like, man, this is the longest off season ever. But then when like Speed Weeks rolls around, you're like, man, Christmas was just here a minute ago. So I feel you. It does and doesn't feel long. So, but I'm with you.
No, and then good evening, and you have to know where to find your racing fix, Five Flags, Bathurst, Chili Bowls. You just want anything, like I've said before, anything with four wheels that goes around in a circle, I'm usually going to tune in.
Yeah, no, that's there's definitely your ways to get your fix in and satisfy the need there, that's for sure. All right, before we get to the weather for this weekend, everybody knows we're all Big Ten fans here, the three of us. Let's talk a little Big Ten basketball real quick just to keep things fresh here. Aaron, Michigan, down there at the bottom in the standings at a very unimpressive 5-7, but a big win over MSU this past weekend.
Yeah, a very needed win, an impressive win too. They look good, and they've got at Northwestern, which I'll probably just chop into the win column tomorrow night, and then hosting IU, hosting the Hoosiers, and I'm sure Brian can jump in on it.
Yeah, but that should be a win.
I was going to say it should be a win. I'm hoping they're going to get things figured out. Got injury suit.
Don't rule out Rutgers, though. I mean, Rutgers played – not Rutgers, but Northwestern played Rutgers pretty well. So,
they're 1-11 in conference.
I'm aware, but they almost beat – trust me, we were almost number two, we were almost their second win. But we had – but like anybody in the Big Ten, they can – they're a scary team. And if you give anybody a little – if you don't come playing well – somebody can steal the win.
Howard's not going to let them not play well. I mean, if they've got if they're healthy, which they're kind of getting back to, I'm just hoping they're setting themselves up for a good run into the tourney here.
Absolutely. Well, and Brian, we're a bubble team.
We
got a nice 3-game win streak, but you're playing Penn State, 13th ranked. That'd be a nice win. That would put you over
we
the
play
bubble.
Tonight. But we've only lost 2 games the last 2 years at Mackey. We play at Mackey tonight. Ask Iowa how playing at Mackey was, okay?
Yeah, and Purdue's 5-point favorite, so I'll take Purdue in the points for the win at home.
But if it's like the Iowa game, Illinois, we need to be careful. I mean, you can't get cocky in the Big Ten on any situation.
That is a true story there.
But I have to say, I got to go to the Purdue Michigan State game at Mackey, and what an atmosphere when Purdue is just killing a ranked team in that place.
Wow, I tell you, MSU, man, that we could do a whole hour just on the shenanigans going on at MSU right now, but we'll save that for off air.
That could be supplemental content at some point.
Absolutely, yes. Absolutely. All right, we got the big dance coming up this weekend. Let's talk a little weather. We got the Thursday night duels, we got the Friday night truck race, the Saturday afternoon Xfinity race, and then the Big 500 on Sunday. Aaron, why don't you start us off with the duels? How is the weather looking for Thursday night?
I'm going to say, when I was working, the duels would be a day I make sure I took off. This is my favorite, one of my favorite nights in racing all year. Cold front's going to be approaching the area, mostly cloudy skies, high of 83 during the day, low of 66 in the early morning. I'm going to throw a slight chance of showers in with a cold front moving in, but I'm not too worried about it. Southwest winds 6 to 12 miles an hour.
Excellent. All right, Brian, how are the trucks looking for Friday night?
Well, that front is going to be something I think we're going to talk about, not just for Thursday and Friday, but we'll be around to have some impact on the forecast. But Friday does introduce another slight chance of some showers. Odds of racing, if I had to, you know, give it a call here, it's going to be a bit on the breezy side. Friday evening, we start to see some improvement, but it is Florida. So, you know, we're going to go maybe in odds of racing. This far out, I always like to kind of keep it somewhat conservative. So 70% odds of racing. During the day, Friday temperature is in the mid-upper 60s. Probably race time, we're starting to get lower 60s as well. So for the trucks, you should be on the dry side of things. I think it's better. It's more good than bad. But never trust the front and when it's in the vicinity. Aaron and I know it can give us heartburn during a season. So, and it is Florida, so.
All right. Well, we'll keep our fingers crossed for some truck racing Friday night. Aaron, how is Saturday afternoon looking for the Xfinity Series?
Saturday afternoon is looking good. Partly cloudy skies, high of 70, morning low of 54. Winds will be increasing through the afternoon. I want to have them peaking out. Easterly winds, so that's an onshore flow. 12 to 18 miles an hour, occasional gusts to 20 miles an hour, and that will be during the Xfinity race.
All right, so it sounds like Saturday's looking pretty good. All right, Brian, Sunday, the Great American Race. How are we looking for the 500?
As of right now, we're on the good. Again, that front's nearby. I'm going to mention it. Like, it's Florida. I'm going to mention an isolated chance of a possible shower, but a lot of that should be more south, but it is Florida, so I'm not going to completely rule that out. But overall, it looks really, really good. More clouds, a little bit of but clouds and sunshine. Temperature's looking at around low, maybe mid-70s. But generally speaking, at this point, you're looking at more of a light and variable wind. You're not going to have the wind issues that they had, I know, during the clash, and hopefully cars will come back looking like cars at the end. So, you know.
Excellent.
I mean, maybe that should be a betting thing. What, you know?
Well, I give people enough to make a prop bet, they'll make a prop bet.
You know what? I bet you that's a prop bet somewhere in Vegas. How many cars DNF?
Someone will take that. Someone will take action on that. That's for sure.
it makes you wonder how much of the clash will be an indication of, because even now restarts are really wild. If you look at that on the clash, it's like, who can survive this restart? Go! Yeah,
no, I hear you. I think once the field's a little fuller, I think things will be a little bit better. We'll see. That's for sure. All right, gentlemen, Lap Traffic Nation, make sure you check out Aaron on the web at raceweather.net for any updates during the week. Follow him on Twitter at raceweather. Brian, you can follow him at NASCAR_WXMAN. And Brian will be back with us next week for the weather. And then we'll hopefully get a nice little rotation every week with you fine gentlemen. Guys, thank you very much for taking some time to call in tonight. And enjoy the rest of Speed Weeks.
Well, it's good being back, and good being back for some good racing.
Absolutely. Brian, we'll talk to you next week, sir.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, as always, for having me on. So enjoy it. I have, you know, my trophies out there in display. So.
Fantastic. All right, guys.
I'm getting ready to buy a house. I got to find a new trophy room.
That sounds like a good idea to me. All right, guys, we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. Thanks.
Yep, see ya. Oh, always great to talk to Aaron and Brian for sure, but those are some barking dogs in the background, which can only mean one thing. Yes, it is time for this week's Lucky Dog segment. If you are new to the show, here's how it works. After the race on Sunday, I will send out a tweet to send me your lucky dog and lap down picks. I'll read them on the show, tag in some social media stuff, or if you're feeling like it, you can leave your picks on the Wave Around hotline, 248-965-9538, and I will play your picks back. You can have your pick what you want to do. Just send your picks in one way or another. Last year, I kept a tally of everything and then did a little show at the end, a recap of the year's Lucky Dog and Lapdown picks, and it just makes sense to do that again, that's for sure. Maybe have some data to compare against. So, yeah, we'll have some fun with that for sure. All right. My lucky dog from this past weekend is the fans. NASCAR is back. It is non-race related, that is for sure. My lap down is race related, and I'm putting the whole race lap down, that's for sure. Let's get to your tweeted responses. Scott at 1985 Wagner's lucky dog with a little pre-race submission. Scott is the first person to submit picks, and he did it before the race, and his lucky dog is Matt D with the Wood Brothers. Good luck. His lap down, Keselowski with Team Penske. It's like you had a crystal ball there or something, I think. David at DFlint14's lucky dog is the used sheet metal collectors hanging out near Daytona for Speed Weeks. Yes, I wish I was down there to add a few new pieces. Lap down, insurance bill for the car owners. Eric at EricS18_9's a lucky dog, shocked that there were cars that finished the race. I am with you there. A lapped down, too many wrecks at the end. Mike at Odell_Michael's lucky dog, Eric Jones actually having a teammate left to push him to victory. And I'm going to add to yours, Mike, and he is lucky that Denny Hamlin was a lap down just to push him to victory. Lap down, just not enough wrecks. I see what you did there. Jesse at Iowa NASCAR fans, lucky dog Stenhouse got some redemption after getting fired. Lap down, Hamlin. I get wanting to win, but he had to know that tire wasn't going to make it. Destroyed a lot of cars because of it. Noah at NDD_01_'s lucky dog is definitely Eric Jones for rebounding from two laps down and surviving all the wrecks. Lap down, all the money that went down the drain for all the cars who wrecked out. Matt at MVecchio81's lucky dog, nobody. This race was good for 65 laps and they all decided to go crazy. Lap down, everybody, for the same reason as the lucky dog. Eddie at EG3_FastEddie's lucky dog is Stenhouse to win the pole for the 500. That's a good start, not just for Ricky, but kudos to the whole 47 team. Absolutely there, sir. And nice new profile picture, by the way. Very nice. Lap down goes to most of the Clash field who were involved in these late race crashes. And last but not least is Mr. Scott Wagner again with a little post-race submission. Lucky dog, three-way tie for Eric Jones, Junker for the win, Austin Dillon, Damage Free, and Dale Jr.'s Graveyard. I like that one there, sir. Lap down, take your pick of the other 16 that were in the race. Fantastic submissions from the tweeted responses. Let's get to your calls on the Wave Around Hotline. All right, to kick things off, it's Mr. Matt Camper.
Matt at Camper News Net. That is my new Twitter user name and profile, by the way. But anyway, very happy to be back, you know, after great off season, and enjoyed my off season, and very happy to be back, into the 2020 NASCAR season, and get my lucky dog and lap down picks back and everything. So in regards to the race today. Unbelievable, especially at the end. All those wrecks, I just could not believe what I saw from those wrecks. Only six cars at the end. I don't remember anything, something like this in this race, in my lifetime of watching it, and just unbelievable. And I really enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun to watch, especially, with the racing at the end and everything, but really feel bad for all the drivers that, crashed out at the end. So anyway, my lucky dog for this week, Eric Jones, winning that race with a damaged race car like that and having, the Denny Hamlin right behind him, pushing him to the end. I feel if Denny Hamlin didn't push Eric Jones, I don't think Eric Jones would have won that race. And absolutely, you know, incredible what for Dan, Eric Jones this week. And my last down pick, obviously, with all the wrecks at the end, I really feel bad for all the drivers that, you know, crashed out, including my favorite, Chase Elliott, at the end. You know, it was unbelievable. But, you know, it's a non-point paying race. It's not the worst thing in the world. And, you know, at least, you know, I'm really looking forward to Speed Weeks on Thursday and, of course, the Daytona 500 on Sunday and next Sunday. So, anyway, enjoy your week, and I'll talk to you next Sunday after the Daytona 500. So thank you so much, Brandon. Take care.
Oh, Matt, thank you for calling in. Love the picks. Glad to have you back this year, and glad to have you on board for the Lap Traffic Fantasy this league this year. Absolutely. All right, let's get to the next call on the Wave Around Hotline, Miss Kathleen McDonald, who just become such great friends with her over the last couple years. Got to hang out with her down at Homestead, and let's see what she's got this week for Lucky Dog and Lap Down picks.
Hey, Brandon, it's Kathleen at KHI Fan. Boy, it sure feels great to be calling in again. Yay! And I can't wait to get fantasy kicked off this weekend. I'm mulling over my picks today, and I'm going to get them in right away. I enjoyed the Clash for what it is. That being said, if they did away with it, I think I'd be okay with that, too. I was completely entertained at the end. There's no denying that. It's not my money being wadded up. They're all the big money teams. No little guys were harmed in the making of that race. So it is what it is. My lucky dog this week is going to have to go to Ricky Stenhouse for getting the pole for the Daytona 500. I'm so happy for him and JTG Doherty Racing for getting some positive attention. Hopefully this will be the start of a great year for him. And my lap down, I've got to give it to the people who, once again, are dogging the ARCA race for all the wrecks, but they need to take back, I think, all their comments after what happened in the Clash. And I'm sure we're going to see plenty more of it this weekend. So ARCA's not the only one. And actually, maybe I'm a little cloudy with my thinking, but sometimes it seems like the ARCA race gets way less than the Cup race does. So I wish people would stop dogging ARCA for that. Anywho, I think that's all I have for now. Maybe I feel a little rusty at calling in, but I will talk to you later. Bye.
Oh, Kathleen, great to hear your voice again. Glad you were able to call in this week, and can't wait for your calls going down the road. You made a great point. I tell you, that's why I love you, Kathleen. Like you said, hey, I enjoyed it for what it is. It's not my money. And I can't tell you how many times I have conversation with my buddies where, you know, if we're talking contracts with, you know, teams up here in Detroit, whether it's the Lions, the Tigers, Red Wings, what Pistons, what have you. I can't believe they're spending this much. You know, why would they, you know, ain't our money. Let the owners spend what they want. You know, that is a excellent objective perspective to have. Took me a second there to get that out. Absolutely love it. All right. One more on the Wave Around Hotline. It is the voice of the Wave Around Hotline, who I also got to hang out with at Homestead. It is Mr. Andrew Kantsian.
What's going on, Brandon? Voice of the Wave Around Hotline at Racing Cants, calling in on my new Twitter account, actually. Hit me up with a follow there. What a race for the Busch Charlie Foxtrot. I don't know if I'm saying what a good race in a good way, though, because that was something. I don't really know what to make of that. I hope the rest of Speed Weeks is a lot cleaner than that. I don't really know if many people enjoyed that. If some people did, so be it. I don't want to beat a dead horse. I don't like speedway racing. It is what it is. Just going to get right into it. My lucky dog of the race is all of the team owners who didn't have to go spend, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars to fix their race car, who weren't entered in the Busch Charlie Foxtrot. And then my lap down are going to be the team owners who, you know, were in the Bush Charlie Foxtrot, who had to spend probably millions of dollars, maybe about half a dozen million dollars, pocket change, I guess, to some people, to repair their tore-up race cars. As for the rest of the week, if anyone is going to the Daytona 500, drop me a line, unless you are a Ryan Newman or Denny Hamlin fan. Talk to you later, bud. Have a good first show.
Oh, Mr. All right, so apparently everyone's got new Twitter handles. Matt Camper's got one. Andrew Kansian's got one. It also sounded like Andrew took the green flag there at the start of his call there. Did you hear that engine revving there? Nice. I like that. And, yes, he's going to be at the 500. Go meet up with Mr. Andrew Kansian for sure. Thank you to everyone that sent your tweets in for the race recap, for the lucky dog picks. Thank you for your calls. Keep them coming. If the rest of the season is anything like this, it's going to be a lot of fun. Cannot wait. That is going to do it, though, for the lucky dog and lap down picks. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, it is time to close this thing out with a little fantasy. Just a reminder, get your picks in new this year, 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on Thursday. I will send reminder emails out on Wednesday. Get that Twitter interaction going for sure. Let's see. There is still time to join the league. If you want to join, visit the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Click on the fantasy link, the rules, the email to register, all there. Segment one, 14 races. Listen, I have not done very well at all over the last couple of years in the Lap Traffic Fantasy League. And it is time for some redemption from the professor, some new changes to the league this year in that you can only pick a cup driver once per segment. So there's some strategy there. Are you going to rate? Are you going to waste a cup playoff driver from last year early on in the 500? Are you going to save them? So there's definitely some strategy that is going to go into the cup picks this year. Still pretty wide open for the truck and Xfinity series. So the major caveat is, as long as the driver did not make the 2019 cup playoffs, they are eligible. So if Ross Chastain is running all three races and you want to take Ross Chastain for all three races, you can as many times as you want because he did not make the playoffs. Jimmy Johnson is eligible to be picked for all 36 cup races because he did not make the playoffs. But Kevin Harvick, for instance, you know, if you take Kevin Harvick to this Sunday for the Daytona 500, you can't pick him again until segment two starts after the All-Star race and the Coke 600 there. So that's a brief snapshot for the rest of the rules. Go visit the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Come get registered. There are around 75 players so far. I'm assuming trying to get to 100 might be a little lofty, but you can join anytime throughout the year. So once you listen, you see how much fun everybody's having. Feel free to join the party. Next week, I'll recap top picks, top standings, and hopefully have a guest picker as well. Right now, I think it's time for the picks. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, it is time to kick off the 2020 NASCAR season with the Great American Race at Daytona. Each manufacturer has picked up a 500 win over the last three Daytona 500s. Kurt Busch with Ford back in 2017, Austin Dillon with Chevy back in 2018, and Denny Hamlin with Toyota last year in 2019. With the Daytona 500 comes unpredictability with stats and who will win. What is pretty predictable is that we will get a big one, but the bigger question is when and how many will we have? If the 500 is anything like the Clash, we're going to have 9 overtimes, and it will not be who can race to the end, but who can survive to the end. Remember, this year, if your pick made the 2019 playoffs, you can only use that driver once per segment. Strategy might come into play here. Do you want to burn through a pick on the 500 and not be able to use that driver again till May? Do you take a guy like Jimmy Johnson, who you can pick whenever you want? Do you bank on guys like Matt DiBenedetto or Michael McDowell, who always seem to be up front at the plate races? Who will take home the Harley J. Earl Trophy? We will find out Sunday. But first, it is time for my picks with the Truck Series. I am going with Lap Traffic alum, who had a great year last year, the number 16 with Austin Hill. and over to the Xfinity Series. I am Watermelon Man happy. I am going with the number 10 of Ross Chastain. And for the Cup race, I am not burdened through a playoff pick. I am going with the 21 of Matt DiBurrito for the win at the 500. Those are my picks. Cannot wait to see who you guys take in this year's Lap Traffic Fantasy League. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, that is going to do it for episode 167 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. This one was so much fun. I can't wait to do it again next week. Make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, at LapTrafficPC. Subscribe, download on iTunes, Podbean, or your favorite podcast hosting site. Don't forget about the contests. I'll get them going this week. Big thanks to Ricky Stenhouse Jr., Aaron Studwell, Brian Newdorf, and everybody that sent in some tweets. I will work on somebody for next week. Don't get caught chasing the lucky dog. Make sure you tune in each and every week to the Lap Traffic Podcast. Go get signed up for fantasy. I'll talk to you next week. See ya!